Hello, Ducks fans. Welcome to another episode of The Quack Report, Season 2, Episode 14. Oh, wait, not Season 2, Episode 3. It just feels like Season 2 because the Ducks are back to their old losing ways.
Oh, that was a rough game.
That was a bit of a rough one, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's against the Colorado Avalanche. Like, can we take a mulligan on that one?
I get that they have some guys back, but can we? Like, that literally, I'm looking at the standings right now. That just took us out of third in the Pacific. We're now the first wild card.
And still in a playoff spot. That's fine.
But and that put them into the second wild card spot.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, and they have four games on us. And like,
Colorado still does?
Yeah, and they're only two points back. They're 10-5-1, whereas we're now 10-7-3.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Man, how did we go on a 9-game win streak and we're like 10-7-3? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I...
Like, you take out that 9-game win streak and we're 1-7-3? It doesn't feel like we've lost that many games, honestly.
No, but I guess we've lost the last three, and those have been all in regulation.
Yeah, and before that win streak, our win streak was 8 games or 9? I can't remember. It was eight, right? Yeah, okay. So yeah, we would have been 2-7-3, I guess. Yeah, before that, there was 2 games that we lost in overtime. So were we that bad to start the season? Or is my math?
I'm taking a look at it right now. So, win, loss, 2-2-0. 2-3-0, 2-3-1, 2-4-1, 2-4-2, 2-4-3. Yeah, we were 2-4-3 before we went on that streak. So,
jeez, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
Are we coming back to earth, or are we in a slump?
I mean,
I purely remember saying, like, in the last episode that I'm actually confident in this team going into these next 2 games. And yeah, what right. The fuck, you guys?
Yeah, see, I don't know, because
I apparently just can't say shit anymore, which sucks because I have to talk on this. Like,
yeah,
do I just have to say I'm not confident in this team and we'll just start winning again? Like,
maybe.
Like, what's going on? It's the reverse psychology of it all. Jeez.
It could be. It very well could be. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think if we look back on it, that 9-game win streak was, I don't want to say unsustainable, but it set our expectations very high.
Yeah, it's unsustainable. And I think if you're a realist, you know that.
Yeah.
But I think it's not even that it set like unreal expectations of, oh, we're going to win every game like this.
Yeah.
It's that we're going to have a good outing the majority of games.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, like most games, right? Like, you'll maybe have the odd night, like everybody does.
Yeah.
But it seemed like this team is better. Are we maybe shitting on them way too quickly here? Potentially. Yeah. But it's 3 straight losses after an 8-game win streak that this team has. But I mean, besides that first one against Carolina, that first loss there.
That one was fine, yeah.
Like this game tonight was a completely different team, and you kind of said it at the start of the show, this looked like last year's team. This did not look great. Like, this was, you know, nobody really getting hard to the net like we've seen, which has resulted in us winning games. We're literally back to everything that I talked about, saying, hey, we need to do this, mm-hmm. and that Dallas Eakins listened to us about, so, and like started winning games kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, we just kind of threw a bunch of that out the window tonight, it seemed, right? We were outshot heavily. Let me just double check what the shots were. Where did it go here? Yeah, shots were 36-26. Yes, it's the Colorado Avalanche, but they are without Nathan MacKinnon right now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Faceoffs weren't great either. It's 56.5-43.5.
Can we blame the refs on this one for the power plays? Like,
well, yeah, exactly. They had 7 chances. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we took a lot of penalties last year too, but man, there were some weak calls in this game.
Especially early on. There were some obvious ones.
Like, yeah. Well, like that first one against Drysdale that they call for interference. Where, in what league besides like House Novice is that interference? That's called a puck battle. They're both going for the puck, right?
Yeah.
They're close enough to the puck. It's trying to get position. That is not an interference penalty.
Yeah, that was a soft one. Yeah.
That was stupid soft. And it just kind of continued throughout the game with that kind of thing, too. We got lucky on one, mind you, that Getzlaff didn't get called for hooking on Kadri. Yeah. Mind you, Kadri could have easily had the embellishment on
Yeah, he sold
too.
It a little. And
in that,
I think,
like, in an play, he got tripped up by Lundestrom, right? Which is, just fuck.
Yeah, I mean, the trip, like, yeah, I guess the stick was in the feet. He fell down. Yeah,
it happens. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah, but I think if that wasn't going to be called, then Getzlaff gets a hook and Kadri gets an embellishment. But I think because they were already calling the one, they're like, there's no point calling these two. Like, let's just, like, they're already going. Like, it was one of those in-between calls. So,
yeah.
But I feel like they would have called it because they talked about it. So they were probably like, do we do a 5-on-3? No, like, the Ducks are going to shit the bed anyways, is probably what they're saying. I don't know.
Yeah, we already fucked them over enough. Let's just move on here. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, we can always use that as a scapegoat.
But, yeah, like, I don't like to complain about refs, but that was just a horribly done game. Like, yeah. I mean, luckily, we converted on what we had. Literally, both our goals came on the power play from Milano.
Yeah.
Which, thank you for at least still having him in the lineup.
Yeah, thank
Glad
God.
You're still listening to something we're saying, for fuck's sakes, for the last couple of games. But, like, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, very random, not even, like, on our thing, but just something I kind of realized. Derek Grant got put on the first line tonight with Henrik being out.
Interesting. I'm assuming
am I missing where that was deserved for that to be the replacement guy? That felt like an odd call to me.
I think, it is odd for sure. My guess behind the rationale is to keep all the other lines the same.
Would you not want, like, the guy I looked at right away, though, and I had to make sure that he was in the lineup to, like, I'm like, did I miss that there was an injury to him or something like that? It's Silfverberg. Why would you not slot him back up there with guys that he's played with before?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Like, this was we talked about this last episode, right? Of, you know, there's not a whole lot of room to get in that top two for him, unfortunately, right now. So he had to look for that opportunity or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. This opportunity was literally should have been given to him. Like, it's not a knock on Derek Grant, but if he hasn't had a good season, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, man, are we? Again, we're only it's three straight losses. That's not good in any respect whatsoever. But, like,
yeah,
I'm just seeing a very quick turnaround back to what everything was going, like, what was last year.
Yeah,
and it's kind of scaring me, and to a large point, who's in charge of those decisions? It's Dallas Eakins.
Yeah,
right. Like, are we back to this again? I really hope not. But just the last, like, these couple of decisions here just kind of, I don't like it.
Yeah. Just another thing. I pulled up the lines just so I could have a better visual.
Yeah.
I'm going to share it with you here just so that everyone can see what I'm talking about.
This is why you watch us on YouTube, everybody, so you can get the visuals. So,
and then give us a like on YouTube so that,
give us a like, subscribe to us. So
everything, tell us that how great our visuals are.
Yeah, exactly. Everything does help, believe it or not. So it's just the weird algorithm stuff. And you guys help a lot with that. So,
So, let's take your reasoning here and switch Grant and Silfverberg. So Grant, third line now, Silfverberg up on the first line with Getzlaff and Terry. That makes our top six, Silf, Getzlaff, Terry, and then Milano, Zegras, Raquel. Pretty
that
good. I like
good.
That. What I don't like is the third and fourth lines. First of all, I'm already not really a fan of this fourth line of Gru, Steele, and Carrick, but it's a fourth line. They don't play much. when they're on the ice, they don't give up a ton of chances, but they also don't generate a lot. It's kind of a wash for me. But this third line of Delorier, Lundestrom, and Grant, Lundestrom's had a good season to start, but there's no way he's carrying Delorier and Grant on that line. That's a tough third line. And by tough, I mean bad. So, and I don't want to see that. So having Grant up there and Silfverberg down on the third line at least makes it so that there's a little bit of a threat on that third line between Lundestrom and Silfverberg. That's the only thing I can see.
Yeah, I understand kind of like trying to keep things balanced, but like...
Yeah, obviously it didn't work out. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just trying to come up with a rationale here. But
Derek Grant played 13:45 tonight.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, like I would have honestly preferred like Sam Carrick to play that. He played 10:18.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and yeah, what did Silfverberg... Okay, there must have been a swap around, actually. Silfverberg? Oh, wait, maybe it was power play time that helped. He is on our second unit, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that must have helped him because he played 18:47.
Oh, yeah.
But that honestly could have been 20 minutes if he was playing on that top line.
Yeah, he's on the second. He's also on the second penalty kill, so he was probably out for...
Yeah, he was out for quite a bit there then.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want to tie it back to this kind of losing streak that we've established here. So when we were winning, you could see that, like, you could feel the energy of the guys on the ice. They were like, yes, we're winning. And they were excited to get out and play.
Gone.
Yeah, and we saw that energy in the loss against Carolina because they were kind of, I think, playing with that we can win mentality. And after they suffered that loss, they're like, okay, the streak's over. We lost. This sucks. They lose again to the Preds. They're like, oh man, two losses in a row, and now we got to play the Colorado Avalanche that scored 7 goals against Ottawa a couple nights ago. Like, that's worrisome. And there's probably some, you know, flashbacks to the last couple seasons. Like, oh, here we go again. We're going to go on a losing streak. And they didn't start very hot. The second period was abysmal. That was an awful period to watch. So I think there was maybe a little bit of that energy lacking, a little bit of that just losing mindset. And because it's a young team and they're probably used to winning, like in junior and stuff like that, because they've always been the best players on their team. I think maybe they just haven't, I guess, learned what it actually takes to win in the NHL, you know? Like, they have to kind of still suffer these losses and then be like, okay, we suffered these losses. This sucks. But remember when we were winning, how did we play? Okay, we got to figure out how to play like that all the time.
Can you bring up the lineup one more time?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I still got it down here. So,
because like not... Like, I understand your point here, but Derek Grant on the team last year.
Yeah.
Getzlaff on the team last year.
Yeah.
Terry on the team last year. Mm-hmm. Milano, not on the team last year. He was injured. Not his fault.
Yeah.
Zegras, it depended on the week. Raquel, he was injured for a point, but he was here. Delorier, he was here and was apparently getting shopped for a first round pick. Lundestrom was here, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah.
Silfverberg?
For most of it, yeah.
Yeah. Silfverberg was here. Grew is the odd man out here. He wasn't. Steele was. Carrick was. Now, can you slide down to the defensive pairings?
Yes.
Lindholm was. Drysdale was. And was one of the bright spots. Mm-hmm. Fowler was. Manson was. Benoit, didn't see a whole lot of them. If I'm remembering that correctly.
I feel like he might have gotten into a game or two, but I don't think so.
And Chattenkirk obviously was as well.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying of, like, you know, with the young guys, but a lot of pretty much everybody here was here last year at some point or another.
True. Yeah.
Right? I understand your point. I don't think it can really be used though.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah.
Right?
I'm trying to come up with something here.
I'm sorry if that was like, if that seemed a little sassy. I understand you're trying to find in the nicest way possible. You're trying to find a scapegoat here. And I totally get it. I'm trying to find something here too.
Yeah.
Right?
So I want to believe this is a good team, right?
Yeah. But man, if we're, you're talking about the energy, and I'm kind of wondering about confidence. If it's really going to be like 2.5 games that just kill our confidence, holy hell. Like, we are not out of this yet.
No. And
again, like, I'm trying to keep things in perspective. Again, it's three straight losses. Again, not great, but it's only been 3 games since that winning streak. Like, there's just a lot that I'm seeing already that's just terrifying me and giving me PTSD to last year.
I mean, losing 3 games in a row is not good. Any contending NHL team maybe loses 3 games in a row once a season.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? Like, so in that respect, let's take it back to our expectations at the beginning of the season. I had the Ducks, I think, 7th. We both had the Ducks, actually, finishing 7th in the Pacific. So, and we would be impressed if they snuck into the wild card or were competing at the end of the season. That was kind of our expectations for this season. And they're still sitting in a playoff spot, obviously, as a result of that 10-game point streak there.
Yep.
But, so, really, I think it's just the 3-game or 2.5, we'll say, bad games that they've played that were kind of similar. They resembled what we've seen over the last couple seasons. And maybe there was, I don't want to say PTSD because it's so strong, a little bit of trauma, maybe, of just what we've seen.
So. Come on.
yeah, exactly. So, like, but that doesn't mean that this team hasn't improved, right? Like, at no point did they even close to winning 5 games in a row, let alone 8. So I think maybe we're being a little too hard on them. Maybe. But it depends how these next few games go too, right? Like, if we get stomped by Ottawa and Toronto, then what was the point of that 8-game win streak if we're just going to go on and lose 8, right?
Yeah, it's something that if you're, again, Dallas, listen up here, okay, bud? If you're seeing this now, you nip this in the bud as quick as possible. You do not allow this type of mentality, this type of play, or these types of decisions, actually. I guess Solomon's now our interim GM.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you make your mark, I think. But if you're Solomon,
you do something to
you go to Eakins right now and be like, hey, this has got to go now, because you. In a strange way, like this is Solomon's this is his tryout, essentially, to continue on as the GM next season, right? He's got the interim tag for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You would assume that he's being allowed to do what he needs to, right? Because it's at this point, right? This is where I think you try to make your mark, and not to kind of be a hard ass, but you go, I'm not Bob Murray. I'm not the guy who hired you, right? If I feel I need to make a change, I'll make a change, and it'll probably be you first, Dallas. Right? Like, again, we're only 3 games, but this has got to be something that, like, all of this, you need to nip this now, right? Yeah. Can't continue for longer.
You look at Vancouver; they're on a tough skid this year.
Oh my God.
And the big name getting thrown around
is
the coach. I mean, Jim Benning's also a part of that as well, right? Because he's had a few coaches now too. But Jim Benning has to go to Travis Green in Vancouver, the head coach, and be like, we need to turn this around. You need to do something to get your team winning again. Otherwise, we're both gone. In this case, it's just Eakins who will be gone, because Solomon has job security until the end of the season. But
I mean, unless he royally does something wrong, but like,
yeah, like if he trades Zegras and Drysdale for a bag of pucks, like, sorry, that's it. And there's no way the owners let that happen. But you're right. This is the point where Solomon needs to say, if this continues, then sorry, bud, you're gone, and we're doing an interim until the end of the season.
Sorry, I'm making sure that it is Solomon right now. Yes, Jeff Solomon. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I'm like, I'm 99% sure, but I want to just make sure that that's who.
Yeah,
it
that's
is.
That's so, a good call.
We haven't had to talk about a GM for the last 2 weeks, so it's been a little bit odd. I don't just have their name memorized.
Yeah. Right. I was gonna say something here, and I don't remember exactly what it was. We were talking about the GM. We're talking about Eakins.
Nip it in the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Okay.
I don't remember. yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. But yeah, either like top to bottom. Yeah, even the Samuelis can get in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually be vocal within this organization.
Yeah.
Nip this now. We have a chance here. So
pick me.
Yes, Carter, you're raising your hand.
I got it. Yeah, I came back, but I didn't want to interrupt. I think that to some extent, I don't want to say there's blame. I'm not saying there's blame on this group, but I think that the veteran players in the dressing room, Getzlaff, Silfverberg, Fowler, Henrik when he comes back, Raquel, I think that's all of them. Mm-hmm. Shattenkirk as well. We'll throw him in there.
Yeah.
Those veteran guys that either have been there for a long time or have been in the league for a long time need to step in and do something as well. I'm not saying it's the blame is on them, but the young guys are going to listen to the Getzlaffs and Shattenkirks in the dressing room. I think I don't want to say they'll listen more than they will to Eakins, but I think the message will set in more.
Yeah. I guess my only thing though is that was it us just speculating or were we actually hearing that it was, you know, more like the older guys being harder on the younger guys last year? And that's...
Yeah, that was part of it too. Yeah.
Was that speculation or was that something we actually heard though?
Sorry. No, I think that was something that they actually...
Okay.
They kind of alluded to it anyways, okay. But like... Okay.
I had that it was just crossed for a second. I can't remember if it was just like us spitballing something or what.
Yeah,
but
I don't remember who said it, but one of the veterans said it was just more fun and
Yeah.
easier on the young guys and that made it more fun because
so like you just have to
a little
if you're them then in this position you just have to tiptoe that line because you don't want to go back to last year again,
no you don't want to be hard right? on like, them but you just gotta I think you just have to bring up like okay remember when we were winning that was fun what were we doing there we were having fun like, I don't know just have a players only meeting I don't know Getzlaff grabs Zegras and Drysdale and a couple of the Terry a couple of the other young guys at the end of practice and is like let's play a game, do something to just like kind of boost the morale a bit because Eakins' job is to be the hard ass, not Getzlaff and Shattenkirk and Fowler. They're supposed to be like the cool uncles. Eakins is the grumpy old dad and Murray / Solomon is supposed to be like the grumpy grandpa that hates everybody kind of thing. But no, I think that they need to do something positive in the dressing room. Or fuck, when are we going to Vegas? Can the boys just like, go out to the Rippers and like have a good time. And we got to be playing Vegas soon.
No, that's the Vegas flu. Come on, we don't want to be.
No, you do it after.
Again.
Oh no, oh, we're home against Vegas.
Yeah,
damn. Well, okay, December 31st, New Year's Eve. We're in Vegas for an afternoon game. They got.
Are we actually?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Oh man, you know they're gonna have a good time. I mean, we got to figure things out before then. But
yeah, we definitely need to. And oh man, that.
And then they got,
I'm already predicting a loss. I don't even need to see the rosters or anything like that. Everybody is thinking about what they're doing after the game.
Yeah. And then they've got a feel-good game against Colorado on the 2nd. So they got a day of recovery, and then they got a game Sunday afternoon after night on the town in Vegas.
Getzlaff's got to walk in with his great mustache and his bald fucking head and go, all right, boys. Grab the Gatorade container, fill up some cups. We're playing Flip Cup right now just to have some fun. We're not getting hammered right now, though. Yeah. We're not getting hammered right now, though, because we don't deserve that quite yet. But, like, we got to, you're right. They need a bit of morale boost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Drysdale, Milano, go make some more memes for Ducks Twitter. Have some fun with that, right? Go take the Polaroid again. And, just have some fun again.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what this team needs because when they were having fun, they went on an 8-game win streak.
Yeah. So. And honestly, I need the fun. Look at how downhill I went already in one episode, three straight games lost.
Nate was ready to fucking call it in for the season after really two bad games. There was very little we had to complain about against the Canes, but the Preds and the Avalanche, like you're done.
I think it was our friend Savannah on Twitter, I believe, who had posted. It was like the cat tearing up with the thumbs up meme or whatever. It was like the Ducks social media team just getting ready for everybody to yell at them. I wanted to reply of like Nate getting ready to to yell on the podcast. Like,
that's not a reflection
on this team, though. I'll say that's just, yeah, that's a reflection on everything else. Right, the school is stressing me out a little bit, but
yeah, a lot going on. There were a couple
we're so close to the break, though. It's at that point.
At the end of the tunnel.
I apologize for everybody or to everybody. Yes, I'm definitely getting a little wound up at three games straight. I just seen what has happened to this team before, I don't want to go back to that. So that's why I'm more heightened up of like, stop this now.
No,
like,
and I'm with you as well. It needs
to quit that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A little flick on the nose.
Yeah, exactly. You got to cuff them in the ear like my grandma used to do to my uncle or whatever, and just like, hey, don't do that. No.
Honestly,
enough of that.
Sorry.
Bad.
Total sidetrack because we haven't gotten sidetracked for the last 27 minutes. So you got to be proud of us.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I guess 25 because there's a couple minutes of pre-roll in there. But getting cuffed on this, like right in the ear, is one of the worst things ever. Like, because you get like that kind of ringing in your ear and it goes like bang and it's like so loud. That's like my least favorite punishment. I've had that a couple times and it's not good.
Yeah. So, okay. I'd rather just
get like the flick on the side of the head or like, you know, pulling on the ear. And
I guess that example like that I used. So I'm just going to explain that quick. We got a story time here for a second just to decompress everything. My grandparents used to have a few Texaco stations back in my hometown. That was kind of the family business thing. And so my dad, when he was younger, would work at it along with a couple of his friends. And one of the friends that helped out was he's one of those uncles that's like the longtime friend kind of thing, right? Like he's like an uncle. I believe it was my Uncle Daryl. And yeah, there was the one day, I guess, that he had, if I'm remembering this story correctly, is like he had sworn around my grandma or something like that. And she just went and cuffed him on the ear just so hard. He's just like, yeah, it's like he remembered that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And so my dad was saying, like, any other time that he happened to swear at the gas station, right away he would cover his ears. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Just knew right away. So
that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, grandmas have a free pass to just cuff any kid that they want. They don't even have to know who they are, but if they wanted, they can. Like some random piece of shit kid in the mall is like acting up. Any woman over like 60, I would say, or 65, because they're usually a grandma around that point.
Yeah,
well, we'll just say you have to be a grandma. You can just walk over and just cuff that kid and no one can do a thing.
No.
that's another thing too, like I know we're getting into parenting here and we're not parents, so we literally can't say this at all, but like,
I hope not.
Yeah. But like looking back on it, I'm glad that not only could my parents just like, you know, hit me upside the head every once in a while when I was being a shit, but like my friends' parents could do that too. Like they had permission to, like if I was acting up at their house, they had full permission to just like, just give me one right on the side of the head. And I think that it helped me grow a little bit as a person. I knew I fucked up, right?
That's
was
fair.
When, like, if my parents hit me, I was like, yeah, whatever. They do that all the time. Not really, but when it was like one of my friend's parents that hit me, I was like, oh, I messed up hard here. I gotta chill out a little bit, you know? Oh, no. Nate's frozen. And I'm out of things to say. But yeah, I don't know. When it was someone that you weren't directly related to that like got upset, they didn't even have to like, you know, give you a smack on the side of the head. When they, if they like raised your voice at you, like you knew that it was something serious. Because otherwise, you know, you could do something kind of shitty and like they would just be like, oh yeah, whatever. It's not my kid. It's kind of funny. So I'll let it slide. But if they actually got upset, oh boy, you better run. Yeah, Nate's...
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
See, of course, it's when we're having a good conversation, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I was pretty fortunate, I guess, that I didn't ever really have that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because as I've been kind of told, it's not meaning to sound like a humble brag. I was kind of I was like an angel when I was growing up.
Oh yeah.
Like I was the kid that I asked to go to bed. kind of thing. Like that, okay. Like that was me. I apparently like put myself in timeout or something like that at one point. Like nice. that was me as a kid. And it was kind of like as I got older, like more into high school and university, honestly, that's when everything kind of went out the fucking window.
Yeah.
So I was lucky that I didn't really have like a whole lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, I definitely got my ass smacked once or twice, but like,
yeah,
that was kind of it. So, but, man, you could definitely get away with a lot less stuff now. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah,
I think that's why there's so many kids that are like pieces of shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, not wrong on that. So yeah, there's
just never got smacked. My dad says that and bike helmets is the reason there's so many stupid people now. Like bikes were kind of a form of natural selection, right? Like all the dumb kids would end up getting like major concussions and like frying themselves by the time they were 10 years old, right? So
yeah, exactly. Or,
but bike helmets kept the idiots around.
Skateboards too, probably. Yeah.
That.
Too. But yeah, bike helmets especially.
Yeah, that's why 100%. We're still around, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, 100%. The amount of times that I've crashed my bike, just like stupid shit, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's 100% the reason is because of helmets. So,
yeah.
Like I had one time a buddy and I were biking to my place, and it was just like off the sidewalk on like to cross a road. Mm-hmm. I just happened to I popped my tire up so that it wasn't just like, you know, the straight down off the curb. Mm-hmm. And so I popped my tire up and it just went straight into like this mound of like concrete, like cement, whatever you want to call for like the mm-hmm. kind of still gravelly kind of roads.
Oh yeah.
It just, my tire just went straight into this mound of it instead. And my, like straight up, my bike just went over me and landed on top. And my buddy was like, "Holy shit, are you okay?" And I'm just like, "Yeah, I'm fine, actually. Literally nothing is wrong with me." So I also had another time.
That's all because of bike helmets.
Yeah, exactly. I had another time that I said a weird thing on my bike as well. I apparently just can't ride a bike well. Like, I mean, I can, but I can't. I had another thing that I just like. I think it was like I hit a patch of gravel, and my bike slipped out from under me, and I re-chipped a tooth that I had chipped.
Re-chipped, nice.
Yeah, like I had the sealant on it or whatever, and I re-chipped it, and I just never got anything done. If my parents are listening right now, yeah, by the way, I chipped that. I don't think I ever actually told you guys that, so. And I just left it for years. But,
nice. It's a statute of limitations now. They can't be upset.
Yeah, exactly.
You're still alive.
And how I originally chipped that, too, was the most cartoony thing fucking ever. I think I told you this before.
You step on a rake?
No,
I love when people step on rakes.
It was dodgeball, I think, in grade 9, and was running like across the floor. Somebody threw a ball. I kid you not, got stuck perfectly between my legs and tripped me, and I hit my chin on the floor.
Nice.
Like I said, one of the most cartoony things ever. Like just like that perfect shot, right?
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
And yeah, to make it matters worse, I'm out now. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So it's not very visible, luckily, but
yeah, I honestly never noticed. So
yeah.
So basically what I'm getting from this conversation is we need Getzlaff to just go in there and just like up to Zegras, Drysdale, Terry, since he's no longer on his point streak, which is very upsetting. And just
yeah, that too.
Yeah. Just bend him over his lap and just give him a pa. That's what I think.
Egan's walks into the room. What the fuck are you doing?
Zegras and Drysdale have like a pacifier in their mouth.
Getzlaff just like hands him the piece of paper that just has written on it, "I can do what I want. I own the points lead." or he just has written on it, even better, just hall pass.
Yeah.
He just grabs it. Okay, fine. Walks off.
We tied it back full circle.
Yeah.
Okay. On the other side of the break, we're going to take a break here. I want to talk about a couple good things that came out of these last couple games and really over the last few seasons, but were very, very noticeable in this game. But we will, once I find the video, take a break. See ya.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or an awesome deflection. However they light the lamp, either team, you win. It's easy money. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win 100 in free bets if either team scores. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL.
Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So, Jamie Drysdale, he had a phenomenal game. Besides taking two, quote, penalties.
Yeah, nobody puts baby in the fucking corner, all right?
I think Getzlaff needs to spank some zebras as well.
Yeah, no, that's animal cruelty, I think. Wait, are we talking to actual zebras or are we talking refs?
What do you think? Did you actually think I meant zebras?
Well, maybe like he's going to the San Diego Zoo and he's just like, you know what? Fuck these zebras today.
Okay, maybe, but I was talking about refs.
The zookeeper comes up to him. What are you doing? Getzlaff hands him a piece of paper. I do what I want.
Hall pass.
Everything today is just going to be Getzlaff hands him a piece of paper. Hall pass.
Yeah. Getzlaff can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Troy Terry, too, as far as I'm concerned. You go on a 16-game point streak, one less than McDavid, the best player in the league. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. We can pay you however much you want. Like,
yep.
No questions asked.
You know what? Actually, speaking of pay, what's... Okay, you go with your point. I want to find something here quick.
Okay. So, yeah, Jamie Drysdale. He had a phenomenal game aside from those couple penalties. The puck battles that when he wasn't getting called on interference, he was phenomenal at those. I believe it was Logan O'Connor was... He got on his horse and chased after that loose puck. Looked like a breakaway. Drysdale kept up with him and did that beautiful poke check off his stick. That was phenomenal. The shot from the point on the power play for that second goal to set up Milano for the tip. That was well-placed shot. Very, very nice. Very comparable. I'd still put Cale Makar higher in that game. I think Cale Makar had a really, really good game. And I don't think Drysdale was quite up there. But maybe if you compared to where Makar was at, Cars 22, right?
21? 21 or 22, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Drysdale, I believe, is 19 or so. So, either way, what I'm trying to say is you take Makar, or you look at Makar a few years ago, and I think Drysdale's at that point now. So, and we've talked about the similarities between Makar and Drysdale before, but I think we're starting to see how dominant Drysdale can be and how he can... how he can influence the play, both at the offensive end and at the defensive end. Like, he makes a poke check like that on O'Connor and is able to, you know, spring someone for a breakaway pass going the other way. Like, that's a Cale Makar type of play to me. So I can definitely see.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
How I can see that where things can connect and how good he's going to be. So yeah. I'm very excited for that. And I think he had a very solid game.
Makar is 23. Drysdale is 19.
Oh, he's playing a bit older then.
Yeah. He had some time in college. I think that's what it was.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Drysdale was great tonight. And like we were talking, maybe McTavish, I guess before he had gotten sent back, right? Oh, he might, like how he was looking early, could have been contender for the Calder, right? We're kind of expecting Zegras. But I think I brought it up a few episodes ago. I'm like, my guy would actually be Drysdale. You can't look at last season and continuing that this season. And it's see, this is where you need to get on TikTok so that you understand some of these references. You're going to sit there and tell me that I'm wrong. Like Drysdale should be in contention. Like for tonight alone, right? Like, yeah, you talked about, you know, his defensive play and everything like that. And again, plus minus, not normally a stat that we take too much in like stuff into, right?
Yeah. If it's at the top end and the bottom end, it means a lot. But if it's anywhere in between, it's useless.
So this is a chance, or this is an example that I think could be used, right? Colorado, five goals scored on us tonight, right? And Drysdale was only a minus one on that.
Yeah.
Remember, that is
5-on-5, though, right?
So. That is, yeah. But he had, two assists on, the assists on both goals, right? And played over 20 minutes tonight. As a 19-year-old, you can't tell me that like numbers like this. Like, let me just see what his numbers are for this season right now.
Mm-hmm.
8 points
in a minus, games.
8 points in 19 games.
Okay.
This might not be. Oh, it's not quite updated yet, actually, because it's only showing 2 penalty minutes so far. So I guess this is before tonight's game. So, so I guess now it would be 10 points in 20 games, right? Half a point a game. As a 19-year-old defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's very good, yeah.
Why doesn't it show more of that shit? What the hell? The only in the previous five before tonight against Colorado, there was only one game that he didn't play more than 18 minutes in a night.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and that was against Vancouver. He played just under 15. But otherwise it was Seattle on the 11th, played 19-12. Against the Caps, 19-53, so just under 20. Carolina, 18-17. Nashville, 18-41, right? Yeah. And he's on that power play as well, which helped that number a little bit tonight with those couple of chances that we had. The numbers like this, like over the last few games especially, like he should be somebody talked about, I think. Not trying to be like the Anaheim bias here.
No,
but he should be in this conversation right now, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with you 100%. I'm just pulling up the numbers for Makar and Hughes back when they were in contention for the Calder. Yeah. Yeah, so that was 2020. Yeah, the 19-20 season, where obviously Makar won that. Makar ranked second in assists, 38, and points with 50 in 57 games. 12 goals, 4 of them on the power play. And averaged 21 minutes of ice time. Hughes, on the other hand, very similar numbers. Finished with 45 assists, 53 points in 68 games that season. Second in average ice time per game, 21.53. The only guy that had more was Ethan Bear of the Oilers that year, playing 5 seconds more per game. So just over 20 minutes, almost a point per game pace. Quick math, 53 divided by 68 is 78%. And then for Makar, where did that number go? 50 points, but in 57 games, 88%. So, to me,
he's not quite
yet,
there on the point.
Not quite there yet.
But
and
again,
unfortunately, that's a big factor. Yeah, exactly. So he could ramp it up, especially now that he's getting more power play time, I think. So if he does, I think that puts him in contention. Definitely early on, I think he's easily top 10 in contention.
Yeah.
Maybe top 5. I don't know. It's still hard to ignore what Zegras is doing. And he's not quite there with time on ice. But if that starts to improve and he starts to put the puck more to the net, it's hard to... I think he's already got eyes on him. But I think then we'll... If he improves in those areas, time on ice and points, and people are watching that, then I think you can put him in Calder contention. I'm not quite ready to do it yet, but he's knocking at the door.
I mean, in 4 less games, including tonight, Mm-hmm. He's already surpassed his point total from last year by 2 in 4 mm-hmm. less games.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, like that's a hell of a lot better. Mm-hmm. He's being given the chance to take a few more shots as well, because in the 19 games that it has listed here on the NHL app, he has 37 shots compared to the 24 games last year and 28 shots.
Yeah.
Right. So like he's not going to be a guy to win it. I don't think
he should unless be talked off.
Yeah. But he should be talked about. I think
mm-hmm.
He's not getting quite enough of the recognition, I think, especially considering how good this team was. Everybody was talking about, oh, the Anaheim Ducks are great and everything like that. But like, mm-hmm. kind of look at the defense a little bit there and see what Jamie Drysdale is doing.
Yeah.
Right.
The issue is the East Coast bias. And I hate to be this guy to bring up East Coast bias, but mm-hmm. it, to some extent it is, because when you're out on the East Coast, it's very hard to pay attention to the West Coast games because of the time zones. So
yeah,
more right. often than not, you look at the points, you look at the time, the numbers, and maybe you watch some highlights, like the quick 5-minute condensed version. And those, because they're trying to market, oh, look at all these beautiful goals that get scored in the NHL. You don't see as many of the nice plays. So it's really hard to notice unless you're actually watching those games. So unless Drysdale is doing something absolutely phenomenal, like what we saw from Makar and Hughes, granted, though, they were older, I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves. If he starts to put up the numbers like Makar and Hughes did a couple years back, then maybe
then they better
people
be
start
talking.
To make more attention.
They better be talking. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate, and I hate to be that guy to bring up the East Coast bias, but it is real, and it's just the nature of time zones, which are stupid in their own right, but we'll let someone else talk about that. So. But we can believe that Drysdale's the best defenseman in the NHL and just toot that horn.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about these couple games? I'm trying to stay on the positives now.
Yeah. Milano, 2 goals tonight. We didn't really talk a whole lot about that. Good mm-hmm. on him. Nice tip in front. And it was that drive to the net for that first goal, right? So it was, again, you saw it there. It works. Just please go back to doing it. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad this guy is back in the lineup, though, right?
Yeah, I know you're a big Sonny Milano fan. So
he's been great for us. So
he stabilized himself on that line with Zegras, too, which thank God, because their chemistry is unreal. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, and it's even better with Raquel. Mm-hmm. So
I like him on that power play unit, too. I think he took Henrique's spot, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, nice.
I think so. I think Henrique's usually on that top unit. So, I mean, with 2 power play goals, I know that they'll probably put Henrique back once he comes back there, but I think Milano gets a few more chances and they kind of battle it out over the next few games. And if Milano keeps it up, I think he's got a really solid chance of staying on that top power play unit.
Yeah, having, you know, contention and whatnot between your guys, not a bad thing.
Not at all. Not at all.
Or competition, not contention, but
you get
the gist of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Cool. Sweet. Do we want to take one more quick break and then do a quick what's quacking?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do it. We will play our internal promo from our friends at the Devil State of Mind podcast.
Woo! What is up, Devils fans? It's your boy, Neil Villapiano. Make sure you check out the Devil's State of Mind podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. From Taylor Ham or Pork Roll to how much we hate the Rangers, we got you covered. New episodes every Monday, wherever you listen to podcasts or on the Hockey Podcast Network website. And always remember to rock on. Woo!
I just want to rub in really quickly here in our THPN Fantasy Hockey League here that I kicked Neil's ass last week, handing him an 8-2 loss. So
mission failed. We'll get him next time.
For Neil.
For Neil, yeah.
Yeah.
So
you get this
one. The two leagues that we're both in, I had a rough 2 weeks, and I have just gone off after because my guys decided to get healthy again pretty quickly. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Before we actually get to what's quacking, let's talk upcoming games quickly. Oh, did we mention this off the top? We didn't. We're horrible. We're not going to have an episode Sunday. We've unfortunately got a couple things going on, and it's just not going to work out. So, I mean, depending on how these games go, you might not want to hear our thoughts anyways. But
it might be good for a bit of a break.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, no episode Sunday.
Oh, Jesus.
And we'll be back with a live stream on Wednesday as per usual.
Yep.
So, yeah, enjoy your weekend and your Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah, we're Canadians. Happy. We're taking American Thanksgiving off.
Yeah. We can take Canadian Thanksgiving and American Thanksgiving because we're Canadian and our team's American. It's perfect. So, yeah. I doubt we'd get a ton of listeners anyways. We don't want you guys tuning into the Quack Report when you're hanging out with your family on your long weekend. Just enjoy your time.
I mean, we would definitely appreciate it.
I mean, yeah. But.
No, add that to the list of things that you're going to talk to your grandpa about this weekend.
The Quack Report?
Yeah. Just add that to it. Mm-hmm. Right?
So. Absolutely.
Hey, Grandpa, you know, the Ducks are actually doing decent this season. They're on a 3-game losing streak currently, but they're doing pretty good. You know, I just realized when the audio of this drops is actually going to be American Thanksgiving anyway. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah. So, like, yeah, happy American Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which to you is just happy Thanksgiving.
But just, yeah, you know, they're doing all right. But have you heard these guys on the Quack Report? They're kind of ridiculous, but like, should check them out, Grandpa. Do it.
They know what they're talking about. Very smart.
Exactly. There's gonna be some story though that, you know, I'm actually not even gonna go down the path. Never mind. Moving on. games to talk. Games is coming up here. You got the Black Friday matinee versus Ottawa at 1 p.m. Pacific, and Sunday the Maple Leafs come to town. For a 5 p.m. Pacific. Both of those games are in Anaheim. Some Canadian visitors.
Nice.
Ottawa, I believe, is currently sitting dead last in the league. Let me double check. Hey, I'm right.
To be fair, they had a few games postponed, so they're a little bit behind. But
yeah, they're a little behind right now. And yeah, games postponed due to COVID. So hopefully everybody either is better now or gets better soon.
I think they all are. I thought I saw that everyone was off. There might be one or two guys that I'm just forgetting about, but I thought so. I just want to quickly look at in terms of points percentage. Toronto's eighth, so that's going to be a tough game. But we seem to, well, I guess sometimes we do well against good teams. I don't know. Toronto's one of those ones that we could beat because they tend to have some stinkers every once in a while.
Yeah, Toronto's a team that we could definitely... Ottawa for sure is the team that we could turn this all around and
hopefully
and go can't let it be a trap game. Toronto, yeah,
they scored 5 goals against Colorado after they came back from the COVID break. So,
yeah, that's true. Ottawa's a team that will just consistently, and again, something we asked for last year that we were getting for the most of this season. Mm-hmm. Toronto's a team that will play 110% for the 60 minutes, no matter what their roster is, they will outplay you at least.
Yeah.
Right. Or like, or just out effort you. That's what they'll do.
Out effort.
If you can beat that though, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, they're currently 31st in terms of points percentage, so still not looking great for them. Obviously, Arizona is the only team lower than them, but they can still sneak out a few wins. We saw that last year in the Canadian division, where Ottawa just gave some teams a rough go. We've seen it a little bit this year, not quite as much, but yeah. I don't know. What's your ideal scenario for this little mini homestand here? 2 points, 3 points?
Say 3 points. Ottawa should, I would hope, be a win.
Yeah.
If we see a bad game against Ottawa, then be worried, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping for 3 points as well. Yeah. If we get two but have a good outing in Toronto, I'm not going to be upset about 2 out of 4 points.
Yeah.
But we need a win against Ottawa here to turn things around, and a good game against Toronto is what we need.
Yeah.
That's all I ask for. So
I will throw out
I will be thankful for that because it's Thanksgiving weekend.
There you go. I'll throw out one more positive before we head to what's quacking here.
Sure.
Tonight's game was only the second game that where the Ducks have lost by more than a goal.
Oh.
So I'll take that.
Yeah. No, nothing wrong there. Sure. Okay.
So, all right.
What's quacking?
Yeah. We got one question here in the comments before you have something to share with us, Carter.
Yeah, sure.
Races fan rocks four. That's races, as in like, yeah, like a horse race or a car, not racist fan rocks.
Yeah.
I said that out loud and I was like, oh my God, that could be misheard actually.
Yeah. I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah. Asks, going to the Gulls versus Condors teddy bear toss Saturday. We aren't, unfortunately. We are north of the border. I definitely want to do, obviously we want to come to a Ducks game at some point, like in Anaheim at Honda Center. I'd love to catch a Gulls game though too. So
yeah,
we will do it at some point, I'm sure. Just have to get the money, or you know, be given some money for that kind of thing. I had this conversation with a friend, like another friend the other day, of like, you know, like where did money come from? Who decided to invent the idea of money?
Who decided we need money? Why can't we just like trade things? Like, I'll give you some carrots if you fix my roof.
Whatever. Like money is trade. I get that.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, here's a value for something, but like, just like, why did somebody decide, you know what? I'm going to fuck up everyone's day.
Yeah.
And it became everybody's lifetime instead.
Before Nate gets into an existential crisis here.
I'm always in one. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Before it gets carried away, let's say. This is a video I came across on Reddit. It is a video, but it's mostly audio. It's from the Spit and Chicklets podcast. And as I said, I came across it on the r/Edmonton Oilers sub posted by... yeah, I know. I'm terrible. Okay. But it's Ducks related, I swear. This is user Dreisaitl_29. So from the man himself,
apparently
leading goal scorer in the NHL, posted this. But this is a video of Trevor Zegras when he was on Spit and Chicklets. I think just this last week here. So we'll play it for you here.
And I was actually in Edmonton this year, and we started, and I never start anymore. It's usually Getzy's line who usually gets the start, and they circled McDavid's line. So a couple of the boys were, because they all knew the O'Reilly thing, so they asked me, they were like, dude, you got to do it with McDavid. And I was like, sure, like, absolutely. Like, I'd love to do it with McDavid. And I get out there and Dreisaitl's taking it. And I lean into him. I was like, dude, $100, like first draw. And he looks at me. He goes, can you even fucking afford $100, you rookie? I was like, dude. I was like, come on. I was like, I can't. That's why I need to win this draw. And the guy snapped it back before.
Oh, yeah. He's got a fucking
ball with his paddle he's got on his stick.
He's got one of those bubble hockey sticks.
Dude, before I even knew where the puck was, McDavid had an RN. It was insane, dude.
So even though he lost the
German and, ruthlessness, my God.
Yeah, right. And he did. Yeah, I found the video of the face off. I don't have it to share here, but so even though he lost and is out $100, and I don't know, either sent an e-transfer to Dreisaitl, or you know, Dreisaitl's got the German mafia out for his $100 or something. I still like to see that personality from Zegras. Like,
oh yeah, that's great.
That's the kind of stuff you don't get ever, but like, just as they're leaning in, it's like you know that they're saying something to each other, and sometimes it's probably like, all right, like, good luck out there or something, like if they kind of know each other. But could you imagine being Dreisaitl and you just you're leaning in to take the face off and you're like, who's this fucking bald-faced 18-year-old that I'm gonna like kick the shit out of today, because you know you're Dreisaitl and you think you're the best? And kid leans in, he's like, $100 on the draw, and you're like, fuck, what are you? But
yeah, not only the ruthlessness of to first say, can you even afford the $100?
Yeah.
But then to actually make the kid pay it.
Yeah, right.
Fine, you want to be a dumbass? You're going to be a dumbass.
Yeah. But the balls on Zegras too to do that. I mean, there's probably a little bit of like trying to get into his head off the draw, right? But
oh yeah, mental games all the time, dude. Mm-hmm. There was there was one lacrosse game. I'll tell the story and then we can wrap out of here.
Sure.
Because it is like that mental game. Because it even got to me. I lost it, honestly. There was this one game of lacrosse that I was reffing. It was like the top team against the last place team. And just right away, you just kind of knew, okay, I'm going to be here basically to make a few bucks. Like, I'm not going to have to do a whole lot besides dig the ball out of this guy's nets. And you just got to feel bad for it. I think I maybe called, I think like there was like four penalties the entire game. That was pretty much it. Like there wasn't a whole lot going on otherwise. Got to stay in one end for the most part. Like, but this goalie for the losing team, he was at least trying to make the most of it. Mm-hmm. He's chatting away both to his guys and to the other team as well. And yeah, it was on, it was about to be like the start of one of the power plays for the other team. And there's this guy standing beside the crease, and the goalie turns to him. He just goes, like, he's just like just been joking like the entire game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've just been hearing all of this though. And for some reason, this is the one that just made me lose it. He just turns and he just goes, "Hey, what's your favorite kind of bubble gum?" And like the player's just like, "What? Bubble gum? What's your favorite kind of bubble gum?" Player's just like, I don't know. It's like, how the fuck do you not know? Everybody's got a favorite kind of bubblegum. I'm just listening to this and I just lost it. Like I just started laughing.
I mean, he's got a point though. Like what kind of psychopath just like takes any kind of gum? They're just walking through the checkout at the grocery store and they're like, that'll do. No idea what it is. Like you got to stand there for a minute and be like, okay, Trident's usually like pretty good, but they only have the cinnamon flavor and that hurts my face. So like maybe Juicy Fruit, but the flavor doesn't last long and it's like $6 for some stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't last long, but it's gonna move you. Like
yeah. And I mean everybody's favorite bubble gum is Hubba Bubba, obviously.
Yes.
You know, little tape rolls.
The comics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
The 2-3 panel comics, yeah.
Yeah. Second choice, Double Bubble. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, I don't really know. I think Trident's pretty good. They got some good fruity ones, but
it's all like it, basically though. It's like it's just that attempt at like mental game, but he's also just joking around.
Yeah, when you're like the worst, when you're the goalie on like the worst team in the league, you got to have a little bit of fun. So.
Yeah, exactly. And
also,
again,
goalies
like
are nuts. So
yeah, everybody knows that goalies are just completely, you know, off their rockers kind of thing. I remember I had one guy who was like he was going around chirping my entire team, and sure enough, became my turn. And he comes up to me and he's just like, "You're the biggest fucking sieve I've ever seen in my life. And like, you should be playing like 2 levels lower below and everything like that." We were up by 10 on this team. And I just went, "Look at the scoreboard." And shut up, walked off.
Man, I don't understand chirping when you're down by like that much.
Yeah. Like I do get it. You're just trying to throw the other team off and like go the other way, but and like, stuff like that.
You got
right?
nothing to stand on. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
One more, not the nicest chirp, but definitely was kind of entertaining. It was a buddy of ours. Shout out to Ryan Keith. And this was in
last name drop too. Nice.
Yeah. This was in U16. He's a year older than us. Yeah. So I was 15. He was 16. And it's the last game of a tournament. I think we were playing for bronze. I think it was bronze. And, you know, like it's like the last few seconds of the game. We know we're losing. And he was telling me this after that. He was taking the draw. He wasn't normally a draw guy. But this guy on the other team that was taking the draws was just this bigger kid, right? And he's just, you know, like he's chirping at our friend. He's just... Oh, has to feel to lose the bronze medal. Like you're that bad. Like you're the first of like the worst kind of thing. And apparently Ryan just goes, "I don't know. How's it feel to be that fat?" And then he wins the draw. So, but again, it's just like that mental manipulation, right? So
yeah, right. But, I'm sure there's worse things that have been said.
Oh, there's definitely
on every court
things.
Or
like,
rink
I mean,
or
I've
whatever.
Just heard
yeah.
worse like during like beer league games this weekend.
Yeah. If you can dish it out, you got to be able to take it, right? So, well, Nate is frozen. He's probably not going to make it out for the rest of the episode. So I will send us off here. You can send your best chirps to Nate at TateNHomas. That's Tate Namas on Twitter. You can also interact with him at Quack Report Pod on pretty much everything out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. You can follow me at Carter_Pods, POTTS_97. Again, we'll be back for a live stream next Wednesday. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Go Ducks, go.
Bye. Oh no! I got back. My name is at Tate Nama, TateNHomas. See you later.
just like that, or just like the Ducks, the show's a bit of a train wreck, right, lately.